Tad reached out for him, seemed to remember that this was a bad idea, and went back to work with the dishcloth instead. "All right," he said. "Perhaps she doesn't like you. If that's true, it isn't because of anything you did. It's because of what you are. A boy," he said bitterly, "a fucking boy. And your father's son, don't forget that. But Bobby, whether she likes you or not, she loves you." "Such a greeting card that sounds, I know, but it's true. She loves you and she needs you. You're what she has. She's badly hurt right now." "Getting hurt was her own fault," he burst out. "She knew something was wrong. You said so yourself. She's known for weeks, months. But she wouldn't leave that job. She knew, and she still went with him to Providence. She went with him anyway." "A lion tamer knows, but he still goes into the cage. He goes in because that's where his paycheck is." "She's got money," Bobby almost spat. "Not enough, apparently." "She'll never have enough," Bobby said, and knew it was the truth as soon as it was out of his mouth. "She loves you." "I don't care. I don't love her." "But you do. You will. You must. It is Ka."
"Ka? What's that?"
"Destiny." Ted had gotten most of the blood out of his hair. He turned off the water and made one final check of his ghost image in the window. Beyond it lay all of that hot summer. Younger than Ted Brodigan would ever be again. Younger than Bobby would ever be again, for that matter. Ka is destiny. "Do you care for me, Bobby?"
"You know I do," Bobby said, beginning to cry again. Lately, crying was all he seemed to do. His eyes ached from it. Lots and lots.
"Then try to be your mother's friend. For my sake, if not your own. Stay with her and help this hurt of hers to heal. And every now and then I'll send you a postcard."
They were walking back into the living room again. Bobby was starting to feel a little bit better, but he wished Ted could have put his arm around him. He wished that more than anything. The bathroom door opened. Carol came out first, looking down at her own feet with uncharacteristic shyness. Her hair had been wetted, combed back, and rubber-banded into a ponytail. She was wearing one of Bobby's mother's old blouses. It was so big it came almost down to her knees like a dress. You couldn't see her red shorts at all. "Go out on the porch and wait," Liz said. "Okay. You won't go walking home without me, will you?"
"No,"
Carol said, and her downcast face filled with alarm. "Good. Stand right by my suitcases." Carol started out to the foyer, then turned back.
"Thanks for fixing my arm, Ted. I hope you don't get in trouble for it. I didn't want—"
"Go out on the damn porch," Liz snapped.
"Anyone to get in trouble,"
Carol finished in a tiny voice, almost the whisper of a mouse in a cartoon. Then she went out, Liz's blouse flapping around her in a way that would have been comical on another day. Liz turned to Bobby, and when he got a good look at her, his heart sank. Her fury had been refreshed. A bright red flush had spread over her bruised face and down her neck.
"Oh, cripes, what now?" Bobby thought.
Then she held up the green key fob, and he knew.